So we were discussing the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Aleph, different aspects of it. Last time that we met, which was not 2 weeks ago, but 3 weeks ago, as it turns out. So we were discussing whether or not, or why there was not an issue of Chatzi Shir in the Malacha of Hotzah. In other words, the Mishnah establishes very clearly, and the Gemara reiterates it, that in order to violate the Isra of Hotzah, you need two conditions. One is Akira and the other is Hanacha. One individual has to do both the Akira and the Hanacha. If that doesn't happen, then it's Zeh Oker v'Zeh Meniach. If two different people split the action, one does the Akira, the other does the Hanacha, that's exactly what the Mishnah is all about. Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Shnayim Shein Arba Bechutz. That if one, whoever does the Akira and the Hanacha is Chayiv, and if you do only the Akira or only the Hanacha, that's called Patra Avalotzer. If you do neither the Akira nor the Hanacha, you're simply the prop, you know, for the person taking or dropping off the object. So then you're a putter or mutter, and that's the Gemara's discussion on Gimel Amud Aleph as well. Anyways, so the Gemara asks the question, since it's true that Ze Oker Ze Meniach, neither one is Chayiv, but putter of Lasser. So the Achronim asks the question, why isn't Ze Oker or Ze Meniach Aser Minat Torah B'Torah's Chatzishir? Chatzishir Aser Minat Torah. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Yuma. So why doesn't that apply to Hotzah? And it's pretty clear from our Gemara that all that's at stake is a Din Drabban. It's Patzer Avalasser, but there's no Iser Daraisa. So that's the last thing that we discussed. And we discussed it quite thoroughly, the different approaches to that question, which also highlight the issue whether or not Akira and Hanacha are the equivalent of Chatzishir, or as some Achronim suggest, Akira v'Hanacha are the category of Chatzi Malacha. In other words, normally Chatzi Shir means you do the whole physical action, but you do it with a smaller quantitative amount in Hotzah. The equivalent to that would be that you're motzi an object, Meshus L'Shus, but the normal Shir is a Grogris. Let's say you carried less than a Grogris. That would be a classic Chatzi Shir. But Zeh Oker v'Zeh Meniach, according to some, is qualitatively different, because basically there are two components of the malacha, and you've only done one. It's not that you've done the malacha, but you haven't done it with the right chefza shir of chefza, but it's that the pu'ula itself is ze'okav zeminia. Or no. And what does that have to do with chazilut sarufe, or other perspectives, or isa kloli, that's what we discussed last time. So one of the things that we did see was that, notwithstanding the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that there's no notion of chatzi shir, there is a view in the Achronim that maybe there is a Chatzishir, at least for Akira. That was the position of the Rashash. Rashash says it's true that if you have Hanacha alone, there's no Isser Minat Torah. But if you have Akira alone, since it's maybe Lidei Hanacha, since it could end up with Hanacha, so therefore the principle of Chazi Litzarufe applies. And obviously the Rashash takes quite literally Chazi Litzarufe, namely, not that what I've been saying, which is whether Ben Hananel interprets in Yuma, 0 plus 0 is 0, and therefore Chazi Litzarufe proves that each independent act is not a zero, but it's a minus one, but it's something. If you take that perspective, then probably there's no reason to be mechalek between Akira and Hanacha. But if you take the more literal understanding of Chazi Litzarufe, which is a view that some Rishonim take and many Achronim, which is that it's a kind of a siag daraisa, namely, once you start, it's true what you're doing right now inherently is nothing, but since it can lead to the completion of the action, that's a kind of an iser daraisa based on a kind of a siag. Normally siagim are drabanan in our mentality, but here and there it's possible that there are some siyagim that are siyagim deraisa. So here too. So that's the reason that you might distinguish between Akira v'Hanacha, and that's what Rashash ended up suggesting, that there is a Chatzi Shir Asur Minat Torah, but it's limited to the Akira. What the Gemara was talking about was not because of the Starufim, but in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, Ze Oker and Ze Meniach are identical. Each one, in its own right, is Patra v'Lasur. in Akira alone, you have the additional element of Chatishir, Asa Minatara, Chazal Starufe, but that's not getting recorded or registered here in the Gemara and Shabbos, because the Gemara is focusing on the components of Hilchos Shabbos, not the Isser Klali, let's say, of Chazal Starufe and Chatishir. That's what the last thing that we discussed, which leads us into the next lines of the Gemara. So again, the Gemara on the bottom of Beis on Beis had asked the question, why Shnaim Shein Arba, Shnaim Shein Arba? Two of four, which ends up being 4 of 8. There should be, the Gemara says, 12. Because there are the four cases, the two in each group, which are Minat Torah, right? The Hotzah of the Oni, the Hotzah of the Balabayis, the Achnasa of the Oni, the Achnasa of the Balabayis, that's the four. And then you have, according to the Mishnah, four other cases. But there aren't four, there are eight. Because every other case, which is only Drabanan, is only Drabanan because Ze'okev is Ze'miniach. So, you know, it's not high mathematics here. You just multiply the four by two. You have 8 and 4, which is 12. That's the Gemara's question on the bottom of place of it. Under Matzalabaya, Hotmani have you another 8. Tartisrei have you another 12. Right, then the Gemara asks about 16 and so on. That we read already. So then finally, on Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara answers that question, and the Gemara says, "Mikol Makom." The Gemara repeats the question. This is 3, 6, 8 lines down. "Mikol Makom Tarti Srei Havyan," but aren't there 12? So the Gemara says, "Pture Daasi Behu Lidei Chiyuv Chatos Kachashiv." The Lo Asi Behu Lidei Chiyuv Chatos Lo Kachashiv. Gemara says, it's true that there are 12 cases, but we're only counting 8. And the reason for that is because instead of counting 8 Drabanans, we're counting 4. We're counting the ones that are Asi, Lidei, Chiyuv, Chatos. Now, of course, the question is, what do we mean by that? The ones that are Asi, Lidei, they're drabanan, so they don't actually have chatos. What does osi lidei chiyuv chatos mean? So the truth is, what does it mean and what are we referring to? Obviously, depending on what it means, that'll help us understand what we're referring to. Are we talking about the akira, the hanacha, something else? What is osi lidei chiyuv chatos? So in theory, there can be two ways to explain osi lidei chiyuv chatos. One is in a very technical and pragmatic way. And that is the action that you're going to take, which is literally going to lead you into a chiyuv chatos. Right? Meaning, we're not making a statement of value. We're not assessing how important one drabanan is as opposed to the other drabanan. Maybe they're equally important. But what we're worried about is not the value of the drabanan, a more severe or a more kal drabanan, but a drabanan, which is going to lead you into a doraisa. Those are the ones, so it's a pragmatic criteria. And if that's the case, then we just have to figure out what are the ones that are going to lead you into that. Right? Likely the answer is going to be akira. Because the akira is the first step. And we'll soon see that that's what Rashi says. And that's probably what Rashi means, meaning he definitely means the akira part, but probably for that reason. We'll see in a moment there's another possibility of applying that idea, maybe, even if you think that the category is pragmatic, what's going to lead you, possibly, the greatest danger, in other words, to ultimately violating the Doraisa. But there is a second possibility, and that is that the Doraisa is not a statement pragmatically, what is going to lead you on that path, what is more likely to be makshil you. The question is to assess and value which of these drabanans is the ikar drabanan. Meaning, if you were to do both of them, right, are they equal, or is one of them the one which is the true mechayev? Right, there are different ways to look at the relationship, in other words, between akira and hanacha. Most malachos, we could say, and we'll be revisiting this again a few times, and also with regard to other malachos, as I'll explain in a second. Most malachos are very simple. They're one-dimensional. Tochein, they have their own issues, don't get me wrong. There's a lot to talk about in any of them. But Borer and Tochein and Bona and Mavir, you know, they're basically a single, simple action. Now you could still discuss, is it the result, is it the action, but fine. What is this action? What is the nature of it? There's a lot to talk about. But basically, we're talking about a single idea. However, there are a couple of malachos where there are stages and phases. Later on, you know, in a couple of, in a daf or so, we'll talk about Bishul. And we'll talk a little bit more about Zoreah. Because Zoreah and Bishul are examples where things don't happen simply or immediately. You don't put a seed in the ground that doesn't immediately grow. Right? And you don't put something on the oven and immediately it cooks or bakes. That's not the way it happens. There, in these situations, a two-step process, right? There's the initial action. You can call it the heksher if you want, but the question whether that's legally accurate or not is part of the issue, right? There's the first phase, if you will, and then there's the culmination or the fruition of your action, right? So the klitas azera, the bishol hamachol, etc. And the question in those cases is, what is the relationship between those two phases, right? Is it all what I call front-loaded? Is it all back-loaded? Is it evenly, are there two stages, is it a tchila and a gemar, right? Is it all, what happens in between the tchila and the gemar, right? Is the malacha continuous? Similarly, another two-phase malacha, albeit not one based so much on a time lag and the need to complete a process, but simply by virtue of the Hagdara, the definition of Motzi Mishus L'Shus or Motzi Dalaramos Mishus Rabim, is Hotzah, Akira V'Hanacha. Since you have to pick up the object, right, you have to uproot it, and then you have to, place it in a Mokom HaMunach. So the result is that, we can raise this question, what is the relationship between those two elements? And that's what's partially going on right here in this sugya. So we say drabanan da'asi lidei p'turi da'asi lidei chiyuv chatas, instead of focusing on the more practical question, what are you doing now, you know, that's more or less likely to bring you to the daraisa, which we want to prevent, right? The question might be the issue of, well, you only violated on a drabbanon level because you did miktsah samalacha, but did you do the miktsah part, which had you done kulo would have been maybe the day malacha. In other words, maybe the day malacha isn't an issue of siag daraisa, it's an issue of being magdir, of trying to define what the ikar hamalacha is when you violated. And as far as that is concerned, what component is it, if indeed there is a single component? Okay. So if that's the case, then it's more logical that we're not necessarily limited to Akira, right? Or to Anacha, right? Moreover, even if we do decide it's Akira, it's not because it's the first, it's because it's the Ikar. Okay. So what I want to show is that there are these different shitos, and they're very, very, I wouldn't say clearly, but pretty clearly set up. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, P'turi dalsi bihulu lidechi of chatas. Rashi gives two pshatim, his own and his rabosa. Rashi says, what does it mean? Kegon akiros. Right away, it's clear that according to Rashi, right, what's being counted in the Mishnah are akiros. Rashi, in the Mishnah itself, says this as well. Okay, this is just a repeat. Kegon akiros, shehein tchilas hamalacha. We'll see in a moment that might be an important word. The beginning of the malacha is the akira. The ikel migzar, therefore we made a gzera, even though it's not daraisa, without akira v'anacha, they made a gzera, dilma gamarla, maybe you will complete it by doing the hanacha. Aval hanachos, but if we were to focus on not the first phase, but the second, the hanacha, lo matzi l'nesi l'idei chiyuv chatas, right, the person who's doing the hanacha, who didn't do the akira, doesn't have the ability to do a malacha daraisa, right? He's already a safe point because he didn't do the akira. so he'll never get a daraisa. Daleka akira gabihai, because he did not do the akira. The arba the ketani, the kochad tarti the chiyuva, the akiros the ptura. So the two of four means two daraisa, where one man does akira and anacha, and the two drabanan are both akiros. They're both akiros. Akiros the ptura. The tarti ninu pashat ani yado malei lefnim. Achada oshenos on the tocha balabais v'yado shel ani ha'isarei kanes hatarti v'chem beidach. And that's the same in the other group as well. That's Rashi. The only question we have to ask with regard to Rashi is his emphasis pragmatic? It's going to be maybe liday, possibly maybe liday karban. If you end up also doing the hanaka and somebody else doesn't bail you out, as it were, or is Rashi also trying to tell us that the ikar malacha of hotzah is akir? That's not as clear. The sefer in the back of the Gemara, Melo Aroim, he understood Rashi the second way. The Pashtus is that Rashi means the first, namely that this is going to bring you to a malacha. He understood that that wasn't what Rashi was saying. Rashi was saying that fundamentally the akira is the ikar, not just the first and therefore the necessary for the daraisa, but it's the ikar mechayiv of the malachas hotzah. Indeed, the Gemara here on the base, just to remind everybody, right, the Gemara asks the question, if achnasa might be included, Mishna says amotzi rishus lishus. So the Gemara said, but the Mishnah is here in the beginning of the Masechta, speak about shtayim shen arba, they're talking about hotzah and achnasa. So the Gemara says, hotzah, right, achnasa rather, hotzah, nami karele. Why? Because akira skufa, because you're being okay or something. So again, is that just factually true? Of course it's factually true. You have to be oker, and then you have to be meniach in order to be chayav daraisa. Or is the Gemara saying that the akira is the ikar mechayiv of hotzah? Not where you end up putting it. You have to end the malacha by putting it somewhere else. But it's the uprooting it from its place, that's the ikar. For example, later on, Tosus explains on Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara asks the question, how do you know, or the Gemara makes the reference to the idea that there is a requirement of akira mi makom dalet al dalet and hanacha to a makom of dalet al dalet. Dalet al dalet tzachim, in other words. That's, if you look here, that's the Gemara on dalet amud aleph. Gemara says, Pashat ani yasyado, this is 3, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. The Gemara says, "Pashat ani yasyado amai chayiv, habina nakir v'anacha me'al gabe makom dalid al dalid." You need to do a kir v'anacha from a place in which it was previously at rest, and that place needs to be dalid al dalid, or be put in a place which is dalid al dalid. So the Bali Tosis asks the question, you know, as does Rashi, but Rashi doesn't say anything. What's? How do you know this, and what's the nature of the din? Why do you need dalet al dalet in akira v'hanacha? So it says, "Vabina ba'anok akira v'hanacha me'al makom dalet." Plus, gives two answers. First is Omer Ben Tam ein regilus laniach chayfetz v'hakas midalet. It's not ragil. The act of hotzah is not ragil less than that. Chena yibestama b'mishka. Then Tosa says, "Odomari al yetsish from koma mashma d'koy nani achayfetz klamar." The mekomo shel chayfetz or shirin ba'arim ve'eravin al yetsi al yotzi. I forgot the pasuk to kura koi ak mekomo shel adam. That is adam's kamakom hashem adam. The mekomo chayfetz ain makom chashuv pachos midalad. Basically, Tosa says that if you take, and this is Tosa shitasa, if you remember we discussed this at length, that the Bali Tosa and the Beisam et Aleph and an eravin yud zayin and an psachim pehei and horios tavdalad all over Shas. The Bali Tosus understood the Gemara Neirivin, Daf Yud Zayin, that halacha, we still learn out Hotzah from Al Yetzei Ishmim Komo. We learn Tchumin and Hotzah from the same pasuk. Al Yetzei for Tchumin and Al Yotzi for Hotzah. So what Tosus here is saying, it says Al Yotzi, doesn't say it, but this is how we understand it also, Al Yotzi Ishmim Komo, which means that the focus is on what? The Makom. That's how you know, says Tosus, second day, that there's a requirement of Dalet al Dalet. But the point I want to make is that not only does that establish an interesting makar for the requirement dalet al dalet, but it seems to imply that the nature of hotzah, the ikar davar in hotzah, is the akira sachefetz mimakomo. Because we're saying al yotzi mimakomo mimakom dalet, uprooting it from its present resting place is the ikar hadav. So then you might say it's not just that akira is the first, it's what initiates and therefore what endangers the prospect of completing hotzah. That is all true, but that's not what the Gemara is talking about. What the Gemara wants you to know is that when you do an akira and anacha, you do them both, the main, right, main basis for the isur is the akira. Akira is davar mimkom, like the language of the Gemara here on Dav Gimel, about base on a base, and that's the Gemara says kol akira chepetz mimkomo tana hotzara karul. So between the Gemara and base on a base, and the Tosis's understanding, the second day of Tosis of al yotzi shmimkomo being the source of dalet al dalet, the idea that akira is ikar, not just prior and necessary, emerges. So that might be a pshat as well.
How do you know that she didn't need hanocha altogether? Right?
How do you know that?
That she didn't need hanocha altogether.
That's a good question. Rashi does kind of take a stab at this when he talks about here on Gimel. Here on the next Gemara that we're hopefully going to get to today, the Gemara says, "Boy, mirev rav, mirebi, tino chaver, ochun umashkin, votziyon lechutz, mawa kira skufa, kakira schefetz, mekomadami, umbechayv olo." Right, hodil malo. The Gemara there discusses the problem. Normally, an akira is like pick something up, and hanacha means I put it down somewhere on something, etc. What if the akira is somebody loads me up with an object? Right, and let's say Erev Shabbos, or somebody else loads me up with the object on Shabbos, and then I start moving, and I go into the other rishos. That's called akira skufa, or I go into the other rishos, and then I stop. I don't put it down anywhere; I just stop. That's called akiras. That's called hanochas gufo. What's the status of akiras and hanochas gufo? So, in the context of that, and hopefully we'll get to it. So, Rashi here, Dibur Maskel Yad Alonayech says. That's the second to last Rashi on the page. So Rashi seems to be saying that akira v'anocha are requirements based not on gzeras hakasuv necessarily, but on derech hotza. Other rishonim are not as clear about it. What kind of halacha is this? It's an interesting question. It's interesting, not only in Hilchos Shabbos do you have this requirement, the Gemara says in Psachim, that's what I was referring to a minute ago, in Pei Amud Beis, that the Iser to be Molech, right, Korban Pesach, the Chabura, Lechabura, also is dependent upon Akira V'Hanacha. There's a discussion in Hilchos Chinuch, what about Mokom Dalet in Korban Pesach? But the idea that you need an akira and hanacha to violate the iser of b'chabura lechabura and korban pesach would once again seem to indicate that it's something more universal. This isn't just a din in Hilchos Shabbos; it's a din in hotza. Being molech means uprooting, relocating, basically, which means uprooting and then in the end putting the object to rest in a different place. Now, whether it's the uprooting or it's the creation of a new destination. For the switching, that's already much more difficult. That's why we need Lishonos of Rishonim, and here and there, Nafkamina as well. Okay, but that's,
and the Rashi that you just went over, why is it critical that the Yorosho Ani Hoysa Reikonis, you can't have an Ocha if he's holding something else, and the Baal Bais puts something on top of what he's holding?
He's talking about Rashi. Right. The first day, before we get to Rabbos Ani? The other shall only Haisa Reikonis.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, we know what it means. The question is, you're asking a good question. Why did it have to. 1 second.
Right.
Oshanosu the Tocha Balabayis the Yado Shal Oni Haisarekanis. In the second one you're asking about. I'm not sure it's a good question. Maybe it's a contrast to Rabosav, which is the next Shita, but that's the only thing I can think of. So what is the next Shita? Rabosai, or Rabosenu rather, Omrim, Pshitus Yad Lifnim Legabe Shneem, Bein Malaya, Bein Rekanis, Hi Tchilas Hamaisa, Vahu De Kachashav Dehavalu Tarti Be'ani V'Tarti Be'Balabai. So what does that mean? This is very interesting. Whoever initiates the entire sequence, right? So again, you have what's happened here is you have a balabais on the inside, and you have an ani on the outside, right? And there's an exchange that's going on at the end of the day between one, an object is being exchanged from one to the other. In some cases, the one of them is doing both the akira and the hanach, and the other fellow is a prop. Right, either to the siluk or meshicha in achnasa or otsa. But that's not the case that we're worried about. The other cases are drabanan. Now, in the cases of drabanan, one person is being oker, the other person is being meniach. But somebody, at some point, is putting their hands over the plane. P-L-A-N-E. Right? The boundary between Rosh Hasharav and Rosh Hashanah is being breached by somebody's hand. So the Chiddush of Rabosav Shel Rashi is it doesn't matter whether that initial breach of the invisible line between the Rishuyos takes place with something in your hand or not. Which of course is a much whoever does that, whoever puts their hand out. Now of course the biggest Chiddush, but let me say it this way. If there's something in the hand of the person who initiates the breaking of the plane, so, you know, if we're talking about Akira, it's certainly understandable. But what's mechudash about Rabbi Yosef Shel Rashi is that even if the person puts his hand out, there's nothing in it. Right, that too is significant. The question is why. Now, ironically, if I put my hand out and I break the plane, that hand, in the end of the day, is obviously also the one that goes back to the other side, right? So I put my hand out. He, the guy on the inside, would say, I'm the Adi. So I'm on the outside. I put my empty hand out, and the Balabayas, with the object in his full hand, makes the Akira, picks it up from where it is, and puts it in my hand. Me, the Adi. Then the Adi pulls it back. What's fascinating is that the Rabosav Shel Rashi does not emphasize the fact that whoever initiates the breaking of the plane isn't the initiating of it. It's that person is going to break the plane with the object. Do you understand what I'm asking? Instead, he emphasizes that he is the initiator of the sequence, even if his hand is empty. But if his hand is empty and he initiates the sequence, it also happens to be that he's the guy who's going to carry the object over the invisible line. Why not emphasize that? And as we'll see in a second, that is exactly what the Riva in Tosis emphasized. Let's look at Tosis for a minute. You know what? Before I get to that, let me just talk to Rabosav Shel Rashi. So anyway, since Rabosav Shel Rashi does not stress that whoever puts his hands out over the line is the person who's bringing the object over the line, apparently that's not the issue for him. What is the issue? Initiating the entire sequence is the drabanan koveya being in the Mishnah. Yeah. Exactly, that's the chiddush. So there is is nothing. Yeah. So what you have to say is that's called initiating with the assumption that we consider, based on what happens later, it's mitzura, in other words. Initiating the process is defined as initiating the process, even though if it had stopped now, nothing happened at all. Right? I just put my hand in another rishus. It's only in light of the fact that it continued, and not only did it continue, but I brought the object back to the other side, so then you can say, oh, when did this sequence begin? I would have said, it began when there was an Akira, and it continued when there was a Hanacha, which also broke the plane. Right? But the fact that he stretched his hand out to begin with, that's a Hechsher B'Alma or less. The Chiddush of Rabbos and Sharashi is twofold. Number one, you have a tziruf between, right, what happened innocuously, right, in light of, you know, the continuation later. And secondly, that's the Kobeya, it isn't Akira, it isn't Hanacha, it's initiation of the process. Clearly what he has in mind here is the idea of Akira of Drabanan Da'asi Lidei Daraisa, or Ptura Da'asi Lidei Daraisa, in a very pragmatic way. Yeah.
Is it really a kind of conspiracy? The Ami is not simply putting his hand in the house simply to exercise his arm.
Right.
He knows there's a ball of ice there that's going to put something into his hand.
No, presumably.
So.
But still, nothing has happened yet.
Correct. But the zero comes from the fact that there are two people there who are corrupt.
Yeah, I mean, that explains the zero better. It's still mechudash because you could say all this is very fine, but it's a hechsher or less, right?
No. I'm saying.
I'm saying it's still a chiddush.
The way I saw it initially was there were unrelated actions.
Right.
And that's what the Rav is basically pointing out. What I'm suggesting now is that
it's not a coincidence.
Right, exactly.
He's interacting with somebody on the other side. Right. I'm just saying the apel pichein, well, that's true. I think it's exactly the only way to look at it. And that's what I meant when I said I was emphasizing, well, in light of what happens, we now see it as having its roots here. And you're pointing out, it isn't just that, it's also that there's somebody on the other side who he's interacting with. Fine. I agree with that. And I would just say, b'afal pi chein, it's mechudash. Because one still might have said, good, fine, but the object is not even crossing the invisible line. Nothing is happening except for hechsher, and yet that's the one that we're emphasizing. Right? Okay. The Ramban, by the way, asked this question. The Ramban in his Kiddushim says, I don't understand Rabbos of Sharashi. I don't really see how stretching an empty hand has anything to do with what happens later on. It happens, but that's totally discreet, and that has no stature, no status whatsoever, and therefore that cannot be Asu Dechatos. That's the Ramban's objection. Yeah.
Well, when the Ani puts his hand across the like the wall into the rishus of the Baal Bayis, and the Baal Bayis puts something into his hand,
yeah,
and he takes it out. So that's the case with the Rabbanan, right?
Yeah.
I understand when the Baal Bayis picks it up inside his rishus and puts it into the hand of the Ani, right, and it's and the Ani is considered a mokum dalal adal, right? Why isn't that considered a hanocha into the hands of the Ani in the rishus of the Baal Bayis?
Okay, so that's going to be the next Gemara. The Gemara discusses Yado either Basar Gufo Garir or Yado Lonayich, and then that's going to be the next Gemara. Okay, so you're absolutely in the right direction, but that's the next. The Rishonim have different ways of explaining it, but they talk about it. I mean, the idea is certainly at minimum a hand that's in a Rishus that's separate from the body is not considered Munach. That's the point. The Bali Tosis, if we get to it today, it'll be great, but the Bali Tosis understood Rashi is saying that even in Rishus where the body is, the hand is this moving, you know, appendage. It's not, you know, a stable, you know, makom. Even though it is regarding Akir Vanacha, but not regarding a Rishus, you know, anyway. But, yeah, we'll get to that. That's next. If we get to it today, it'll be great. So that's one. If you look at Tosis, so the Ramban doesn't like Rabbos HaShal Rashi. Do we have Rashi? Fine. The Bali Tosis don't attack Rabbos HaShal Rashi, they attack Rashi, And then you'll see in a moment they quote the Riva, who says something very similar to Rabosa Sharashi, but with a totally different emphasis. That's anticipating. So look at Tosas, Pturi Dasan Dechatas. Starts off with Rashi. Masha Pirish Rashi, Dakiris Kachashavin and Irulari. Why? So the interesting thing is, the Tosas' objection to Rashi is not qualitatively that different, although you could certainly be Mechalek, between Ramban's critique of the Rabosa Sharashi. And it is as follows. Chada Dakira below Hotza, Eina Ella Tiltul Bialma. The Aimba Drara the Chi of Chatas Klal. What is Tosa saying? Tosa saying not the case of Rabosa Sharashi. Case of the problem with Rabosa Sharashi was the guy stretches his hand, his empty hand, into the other Rishus. What's that? Nothing. Right? He's saying Shalom Aleichem, you know. Or he's waving. Or he's doing exercise. But what bothered about Rashi is the opposite kind of a case. Let's say the Balabayas, let's say, on the inside, or the onion on the outside, it doesn't make a difference, picks up the object, right? And he just picks it up, and he doesn't break the plane at all. But he picks it up and he puts it in the hands of the, let's say, the Balabais, puts it in the hands of the Ani, but still inside Rishus HaYachid. Or the Ani picks up the object, you know, in Rishus HaRabim, and places it inside the outstretched hand of the Balabais, who has his hand in the Rishus HaRabim. Right? That's what bothers Tosas. Tosas says, listen, what has he done? He's officially done an Akira. There's no question that seems like it should be Patra Avalasar. It doesn't seem like Tosas is saying that the only time that you're ever going to violate, right, is if you, you know, cross the plane in the context of Akira. Drabana, I'm talking about. I don't think Tosas is going that far. But what they're saying is that can't be the Ikar, you know, Dvarim Sh'asu V'Dechatas. Why not? I mean, when he picks up the object with the... Well, let me make it clear. When he picks up the... let's take the Balabais on the inside. When the Balabais picks up an object on the inside, if his intention is never to go outside, or never for the object to go outside, then they'll never, even if he changes his mind and he takes the object outside, it's potter. Because the lack of alech machsheves, that's the Gemara later on. The Gemara says very clearly that if you're mefane chafotzim inside Rishus HaYachid, and then you change your mind after you're on the move and decide to walk out, that's potter, because it's a lack of alech machsheves. So obviously the case that we're talking about is a case where the reason that there's ptur is because shnayim shasu, Zeoker v'zeminiach, meaning the Oker had in mind that the object should go outside of his Rishus. So what did he do? He picked it up. But what bothers Tosas is, fine, he picked it up with the intention of, you know, helping it get out of the Rishus. But what didn't he do? He never crossed the plane. So how terrible is that? Right. So if the idea was that Shema Yavo, I mean, it's like a kind of a siyag d'oraisa, which is probably what Rashi had in mind, not like the Malo Aroim. So then Tosas' objection is really problematic, because it's apples and oranges. Tosas is saying what? It's Nindud, the Tiltul, the Alma, Embra Drara, the Chiyav Chatas. What's Tosas saying? That it's not going to possibly lead if he picks it up and then he decides he's going to put it over, it's going to be a Chiyav Chatas. Right? So what Tosa seems to be arguing, that conceptually you haven't done enough in this Drabanan to qualify for being the Drabanan. I mean, Tosa's perspective is, this isn't about Siag, this is about the significance of this component as opposed to the other component. This is the Uber component. This is the chief component. That's what Tosa is saying. So Rashi might answer, that's not what I think this Gemara is talking about. This Gemara isn't a contest, you know, which Drabanan is worse, or when you do the whole thing, right, are they equal, or is one of them the Ikar Mechayim as long as you do the additional condition? That's not what this Gemara is talking about. This Gemara is just talking, Rashi will tell you, this Gemara is just talking about a simple issue. Namely, the act that could lead to a daraisa, right, is a drabana that we're singling out. So what do you mean, tiltul bialma in drora the chatas? That's one possible refutation. The other possible refutation is based on what we spoke about a couple of minutes ago, which was, what is the ikar mechayev anyway of hotzah, and especially if you take the view of Akira, right? Or the second day of Tosas about Makom Dalet al Dalet. Namely, if the focus is not so much where the object ends up, but the fact that you're oker at Mimakomo, if that's the ikar mechayev, so then at the end of the day, why is it so important that you break the plane? Now, let me make it clear. Of course, there's no Isser min HaTorah to be Oker HaChefetz from within Rishus HaYachid. That's because it's not considered Akiras HaChefetz. Meaning the Akiras HaChefetz isn't just the actual Mokom where it's on. It's the Mokom where it's on to a different sphere. If it remains inside the same sphere, if you pick up an object in Rishus HaYachid and you put it in another place in Rishus HaYachid, that's not considered Al Pidin Akiras Dover Mimakomo. It's not that only that you haven't done Chiluf HaRishuyos. The problem is, because you haven't done Chiluf HaRishuyos, Al Pidin, we don't consider the change to be a violation of Akiras Dover Mimakomo. But if your intention is to carry it out, and if it soaks up and goes out, then we do consider it Akira Mimakomo. And we consider it Akira Mimakomo for the second that you picked it up from the Makom Munach that it was on. So what I'm saying is, there are two ways for Rashi to neutralize Tosis's objection. Tosis is asking, how can Akira be the thing? Some of the Akiros, you don't even break the plane. It looks like Tiltu Bialma and Ein Dror and Dechatas. I think Rashi could say one of two things. One, Rashi will say, apples and oranges. You're talking about concepts, and I'm talking about pragmatically the first step that could lead to a daraisa. Secondly, even if you want to talk about concepts, who says that Akira Sofer Mimakomo isn't the Mechayev? Just that normally, if you don't end up breaking the plane, so that's not considered Akira Mimakomo. But if you do end up and your intention is, and you have the assistance to be Machlif Rishuyos, then it turns out that that first step, the Akira Sofer Mimakomo, wasn't a Tiltu Bialma or Ein Badrora Dechatos, it's the Ikar Mechayev of Chatos. Okay. That is the discussion of Rashi and Tosas. Let's continue. The Tosas then continues and says, any other questions? The Tirish HaKuntris, Kachashi, the Malabayis, Gimel Yisiyas Vachnasa Achas, so the Ani, Gimel Achnasa Spotsa Achas. If you really work it out, right, so it's not even in terms of the Ani and the Balabayas. It's 3-1, 3-1 in the different ones. They're working out the details on important. But the Lachashiv Tartil Ptur, the Ani Bachas, Uda Asher Baachas, Kedachashiv Chiyuva Bereisha. These are more, structural, I guess, difficulties in terms of the, reading of the Mishnah. But fine. The point is, what does Tosaf like Rashi, what does Tosaf want to suggest? Right? It's easy to be a negative campaigner, but what's the constructive suggestion here? So Tosaf came up with the following idea. Mefarish Riva, the Osi the Dechiyub Chatos Hainu, Osa Chaposha Tasyado, Umachnisa, Omotzia, the Kabase, Baba the Reisha Chayib Chatos, Vacha Patur, Shalosa Kalamalacha, Shechiser Mimena Ma'at, O Akira, O Anacha. A very fascinating Riva. What's he really saying? So the answer is, he's saying what the Rabbos of Shalashi are saying, but he's saying it in a very different way. Lamaisa, as I mentioned before, Rabbos of Shalashi said, whoever breaks the plane, whether with a hand, full hand or an empty hand, he's the one that we're talking about. Right? The Riva thinks it's that same guy. But not because he broke the plane and initiated the sequence, but because whoever puts his hand into the other person's rishus is the person who is doing hachlafas harishus with the chayfetz, either right away, or in other words, as part of the akira, or as part of the hanacha. So at the end of the day, the Riva's case, as I overlaps the Rabbos of Shorashi, but conceptually, it's for a totally different reason. For Rabbos of Shorashi, the Yesod is, he's the one who's initiating the sequence. No, not that he's done the Ikar HaMaisa, he didn't do anything. If he put his hand, his empty hand into the other Rishus, is nothing. Right? It's only a siag of some sort. But for the Rivatz, the exact opposite. The Rivatz seems to be saying, everybody's looking at Akira and Anacha. What about Kila for Shuyos? There are three elements. You pick up the object, you initiate the uprooting of the object from where it is. Right? Then fast forward. What do you want to, what, how does it end? You give it into a Mako Munach, right, on the other side. But what about the moment when you traverse the Rishuyos? Is that an important moment, or is that just a Hechatimtzi? Right? So the answer to the Riva is, that's the critical moment. Sometimes it's the Akira, sometimes it's part of the Hanacha. Who cares? But look at the language that he uses. Shechiser, the reason it's only Drabanan, Malacha Pata Shula Asa, Kol HaMalacha. Wow. He's turned everything upside down. He's feeling, oh my gosh, you know, I need to explain why he's not Chayiv Chatos. Rabbos Shorashi are talking about a man who puts his empty hand across the thing. You know, he can barely understand what that has even to do with the Drabanan. Right? Tosis' objection against Rashi is that some of the Akiras, it's not even on the other side. So what's, that's even a Drabanan? Or that's a Drabanan of stature. But Riribo, who has the same exact case of Rabbos of Shorashi, is basically, everything's on its head. He's basically saying, why isn't it Chayiv Chatos here? He's the guy who takes the object from one end, from one side to the other. The answer is, Shechiser lo asa kol amalacha, Shechiser mimenu ma'at. He didn't do it all. Oh, Akira. Oh, Hanacha. Right? It's not Akira or Hanacha that's the Ikar. The Chilo for Shuyos is the Ikar. Right? The only thing is, you need a Chilo for Shuyos together with one person who not only does the Chilo for Shuyos, but does both Akira and Hanacha and Chilo for Shuyos. And this guy didn't do it all. Very interesting. Now you can imagine that there's going to be another pshat. Right? Because there's another candidate. Right? Not the Akira. Not the initiator of the sequence. Not the breaker of the plane, the Machler for sure, but the Hanacha. So of course, that is the view of the Ramban, of the Rajba, of the Ran, the Chidush Eran. The Chachmei Sfarad felt that the din of Ptura Dasi, the Dechatas, is captured by Hanacha. Why Hanacha? Hanacha is maybe the Dechatas. That completes the whole process. Right, if you don't do the Hanacha, there's no Korban. You can do the Akira all day long. Midaraisa, you haven't violated anything until you do the Hanacha. Right, Al Shem Sofo, the Sof, the Gemar, that's the one that's Osu, the Dechatas. The
reverse of Veina Misuniqui, so.
What?
It's a reverse of Veina Misuniqui, so Shem Gomra.
Oh, exactly, in a way. Yeah. Oh. So, interestingly enough, the exact same kind of discussion, or part of the discussion anyway, continues in the interpretation of the next line of the Gemara. So we had it regarding Chatzishir a little bit. We have it now regarding the Drabanan of Ptura Dasa and the day Chatzos. And then we have it in the next line of the Gemara. Gemara says, Shneim Pturim. What are we saying that in all these cases in the Mishnah, Shneim Pturim, Zeokav Zeminiach, Shneim Pturim, Vos Avida, Melacha, Mibenayu, between the two of them, a Melacha was done? If you have an Akira alone or an Anacha alone, it's one thing. But in combination, right, everything was done. Akira, the Chilof, the Anacha, it was all done. So what's the Gemara asking? Hard to know. Get back to it in a second. The Gemara answers, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Be'ama Aretz Basosa, Ha'osa Eskula, V'la Ha'osa Esmiktasa. The reason there's no chiyuv is because we have this rule that shnayim shasu is ptur, yachid v'yasal sachayit, shnayim v'yasal so ptur. Very good. Now, having read that, what was the Gemara's question exactly? Right? So there are two, broadly speaking, there are two possibilities. Within the second, there are a number of possibilities. Okay. First issue is, was the Gemara's Havamina that in combination they should be chayiv? Or that one of them should be chayiv as long as everything gets done. Right? And then a question, that's the second question is, if it's one, as long as everything gets done, which one? In other words, it's a tnai, the way you have to explain, there's an ikar b'chayiv, right? And he gets the full chiyuv. However, there are tnaim, or there are conditions under which this, if this doesn't all get done properly, then the real Osam Alacha is not going to be chayiv. Okay. So, if you read in the Gemara, there's no reason not to think that the Gemara thought both of them would be chayiv, but Tosus denies it. Tosus had a different girsa, but there are other people who don't have this girsa. Shneim p'turim v'asavina malachim b'benayu. Rashi Tosus says, Eina koya masnisen, shereshet shneim p'turim, and pashat ani yaseh lifnim. Ela kai and magis kamri peture the asi behuli dechi of chatos kachashin. Ava chatos leis behu el shneim peturim kediktani masnisa. Vamai ha isavida malachim ibenayu. That's the Gemara's question. Then Tosa said, "V'lo parashu is chayiv harishon. The ain svara da idea sheni sher asa." Hanacha v'gomar hamalacha yischayv arishon ela sheni kaparech shischayv l'pishal yado nigmara ha malacha. So number one, Tosaf denies that there was a havamina that both should be chayiv. He reads the Gemara that one should be chayiv as long as everything ended up getting done. Who should be that one? The meniach. Why? Because the gomer, you know, there's no havamina that you're going to punish the gomer for something which from his, when he ended his association with this malacha, right, it wasn't at a stage of chiyuv yet. So if the meniach is the one who completes it, he, and there's only one to be b'chayiv achatos, it should be him. Except that, as much as that is a pragmatic, you know, argument in a way, still at the end of the day, what was the havamina? That who gets the chatos? The meniach. Wow. He's got to at least have half. He has a self-sufficient a chelek in what's happening in terms of the Mechai, at least. That's an amazing sheet.
If you didn't have the limud of Me'amor Sososa,
yeah,
then you would say that it's even Hosef Mitzosa should be Chayav Chatos.
Said the what?
If you did not have the limud of Me'amor Sososa,
yeah, yeah,
then you would assume that if he was also Mitzosa, so therefore it would imply that both should be Chayav.
The combination.
They're both Osos Mitzosa.
That's what I'm saying. Tosa is saying that's not correct. The Havamina was not only one. Other Rishonim think that maybe the Havamina was both. Okay, it's part of a sugya later on too, obviously, in Parakah Matzniah, the question of, you know, Zeh Yachal V'Zeh Yachal, Zeh Ene Yachal V'Zeh Ene Yachal. You know, it matters. Like, if each one could do it on his own, self-sufficiently, so then we usually invoke the rule, Shnayim Shasu P'turah. If it takes two to do it, then the fact that there are two is not a chisaron. Each one's doing the whole matter. In part, that's kind of what the next Tosis is about. Basosa b'chol asrom garcinu ha'osa es kulav la'osa miktasoi yachas shalsa zachayiv shnayim shalsu p'turim pashut kodir de basosa koyan nefesh. I don't want to go through the whole thing right now, but beginning of the next Tosis, Basosa is basically discussing are there two dinim and do they have anything to do with each other? Namely, the idea that Shnayim Sha'asu Pturim, and the idea that Echad Sha'asa, you know, Chatzi Malacha, is Pater. When we say Shnayim Sha'asu Pturim, are we basically saying the same thing? That there are two of them, therefore each one did, went through the division, two people did the Malacha, each person did half the Malacha, half a Malacha you're not Chayim for. Is that the Din? Or there's two completely different Dinim. We cannot be Mechayiv you and half a Malacha, but maybe when you do something in combination with someone else, instead of saying that each one did half, we should say that each one did whole, or we should say that in combination they did whole. Right? It's an old question. So really there are two dinim. One is chatzim malacha, you're not chayav for, and the other is shnayim shasu, even though each one is considered to have done the whole thing, you're also potter. That's the question. Anyways, if you turn to Tosfot Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, <coughs> 93A, that help? Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. Oh, so the Gemara has it again, the same Mamra Batsosa. Well, you can see it in the Gemara here. Here's where the Gemara has its discussion. But Zeyachol, 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 Zeyachol. Right? You can imagine. Right? So, Tosas here, Chad Lamute Zeoker Vizameniach. Tosas says, Vizek Kosav Os Achas, Uba Chaver Vikosav Os Shnia, Lo Istrich Kra. Wow. El Hautza, the Havamina da Achnasa va Hautza, who de Kapan Rachmana, Vilachai va Fila Belo Anacha. Tosa says, we never find that the Gemara says, Zek Kosavos Achas, Zek Kosavos Achas, right? We should have a Mina, Bisav the Malacha mi Benayu. So either both or one of them should be Chai. No such thing. Even without Exeris HaKasav, we knew that if Zek Kosavos Achas, Zek Kosavos Achas, then you don't have a basis for Chiyuv, because neither one did anything, or did anything sufficient. But we would have thought, says Tosas, that when it comes to the Malacha of Hotzah, that is different. Ela da Hotzah, the Havamina Achnos of Hotzah, Uda Kapad Rachmana, Vilachayiv, Afilu Bela Anacha. What does that mean? Not the Havamina was that the Meniach would be Chayiv, that the Oker would be Chayiv. As long as soap there is a Hanacha, let's look at Hanacha, and again, going back to what we said before, possibly for Rashi, at least going to the Loim Aroim in Rashi, that's what the Gemara may have meant on Beis Amid Beis, right? Akira Stavar Mimakomo Hotza Ikri, right? That's what we said also with regard to some of the Ayotzi Shmimakomo, right, the Akira, etc. Possibly that's one of the Shatim and reading the Shnayim Shenar of the Mishnah, we talked about that, the Balamor and other people, etc. So the what Tosas is here is saying, different than what Tosas says on our daf, is that the real Mechayiv of this two-stage process, or three-stage process, is the Akira Zavar Mimakomo. The Akira. Therefore you think, but you have to stop at some point. Right? It has to, needs a culmination. That's the Hanacha. So even if Acher is Meniach, when he's Meniach, the Oker should be Chayiv. Kamash Fulon, that's not true. So once again, in the competition between Oker and Meniach, find two days in Tosas. You find also within the, it's not surprising that the Ramban and the Rajba, both of whom interpreted the Rabbanon issue, Pturi, the Asi, the Dechatas, both of them interpreted it in terms of Hanacha. I think as I mentioned then, the Ramban says it in a more pragmatic way, right? Namely, that's the end of the Malacha. That's what's maybe the Dechatos in a more pragmatic way. So it's interesting, when the Ramban describes the Havamina, that had it not been for the Gzeres HaKosav of Shnayim Shasu, that we would have been Mechayev one of them, either the Oker or the Meniach. So he says, it's got to be the Meniach. But again, same reason. Namely, it's like, two people, build a boar. So if the first guy only goes 8 tzvachim or 9 tzvachim, whatever it is, the killer boar is 10 tzvachim, so you know, the fact is that the one who completes it, he really is the mechayev. Right? Or you have two shutfim, and one of them walks by leaving the bar open. Right? But the second guy still on duty. Right? It's his job to close it up. So the Ramban takes that kind of an approach. Namely, it's impossible to penalize the first fellow for the gemar, absent of which there wouldn't have been any chiyuv for the first. This, you're leaving too much, in other words, in a second party's hand in order to be mechayev of the first party. However, the Rajva, who explains that p'tura da'aseh v'dechatos refers to hanacha, not just because l'maisa, it's maybe the dechatos because it's the end, culmination. But no, that's the ikar hamechayev, not the akira mir davar mirushaso, but the hanacha on a newer place, the destination is the davar chashuv in Otsa. Possibly this is also machlokes in the Ramban and the Rajba. Earlier in the Masechta, right, we talked about Kiras Davar Mimikomo, Dabbeis on the base. But the point is that the point of the Rajbo thinks Hanacha is the Ikar Mechayev, possibly, of Otzah. It's very understandable that when he comes to explain why it is that the Gemara Dehava Mina, that the Meniach Dafka and not the Ochar would be Chayev Chatos, he doesn't have this whole fancy explanation of, oh, you can't punish A, for the completion accomplished by B. What he says is, B is the Ikar, right, Poel, he's the Ikar Mechayev in Otzah, in his own right. And therefore, if one of them is going to be Chayev to the exclusion of the other, it's going to be him, certainly, he is the one. Okay. So that is the, that's that part of the discussion.
The pshat and tosis be a little different, because you
the what?
The only matter also an achnasa, because it says there's two components, like you mentioned before.
Right.
Unlike most malachos, there's one component. So since you have to have an akiva, you have to have an achas, so maybe tosis suggests they should both be chayv.
Well, Tosas says in Gimel, he said only the Meniach.
No, he says,
which one are you reading?
Tosas on Sadi Gimel.
Yeah.
He says, who do you call
Chandamute?
The L'chayiv Afilu Belohan. It means that the Okir.
Meaning, even though he didn't do the Anacha.
Yeah, okay, but by the
the Oker should be Chayiv.
The Oker or the Meniach, as contrasted to Kosei.
What do you mean, oh? Where do you see either? No,
but he's contrasted with Kosei Osio. So there's
only Kosei Shei Osio, you don't even need Exeris Hakasu. Saying there, you didn't do anything. Each person did half.
The law of Kosei with Shei Osio. One Osio is nothing.
Right.
But over here.
A Meniach, an Oker, B'li a Meniach is doing something, just not enough, just is missing a Tanai Chiyu.
Right.
So then when the Tanai is accomplished by the other party, he's the one who should be Chayiv.
Right, so it could be either the Oker or the Meniach.
No, but he says clearly, he says it clearly here. Yeah.
The Oker.
Right.
And the Meniach could be.
You're speculating. But he doesn't say that.
Okay.
On Gimel Amud Aleph, he only focuses on the Meniach. Uh-huh. Here, he certainly is focusing, he's only mentioning the Oker. Put it that way. If you want to argue that he means either Oker or Meniach, it doesn't sound that way to me, but, I'm not sure. Okay. Well, I'll give you another example of where this comes up. It comes up in a bunch of other places, but yeah.
Rav said before about basically a three-stage process: Oker, Nahir, and Meniach.
Right. One, or at least according to some, yeah.
Right. One can visualize that really as three bodies. Right. There can be an Oker who puts it into the hands of someone who is Nahir, who then passes on to somebody who is Meniach.
We don't have that ever.
We don't have that. Right.
Oh, no. I mean
that. And therefore, I want to suggest when you have the Gemara mentioning Akira and Hanacha, maybe that's then Shnayim She'asu as opposed to Shlosha She'asu. Maybe that suggests that really the Havara is kind of secondary. It has to be done.
I mean, the chiluf.
The chiluf, right. It has to be done. Somebody has to.
Right. I think that's possible. That goes back to things we were discussing in the very beginning of the year, which is also connected to this, by the way. Now, first of all, the different interpretations of Shnayim Shen Arba between Shnayim Shen Arba B'chutz, but also the more importantly, the different perspectives on Malacha Grua. When we say that it tells a Malacha Grua, why is it a Malacha Grua? In what sense is it a Malacha Grua? Right. So if you remember the Bali Tosis, all over Shas, including the Beisim and Aleph, but Sanei Ruvin and Shavuos, you know, what they basically say is that you would have thought that even Mirshus Hayachid Shel Ruvin, Mirshus Hayachid Shel Shimon, that should also be, that should also, because you're basically going from one Mirshus to another. That's their emphasis. The Ramban, on the other hand, basically says, the reason that it says Malacha Grua is because, what, you're going to put a piano on your back and carry it around inside Rosh Hashayachid all day? You know, that's nothing, but you have a little grogerus in your pocket and you go from Rishus to Rishus, and that's something. Why is that anything? Right. So I'm saying there are different emphases already in terms of, is it the Chiluf Rishus? Right? Or is it the Akira or Akira Vanacha, etc.? Now, I think to answer your question about the three, what I would say is that in order to qualify, it's a little goes back to what Tosus was asking against Rashi, part of that discussion, where Tosus said, what, he did the Akira, but he didn't break the plane, what's that? That's nothing. So the answer is, at least in context of the person whose hands he gave it to, he broke the plane. Right? But my point is, for the Akira to be an Akira and the Hanacha to be a Hanacha, they somehow have to be mitzuraf to the breaking of the plane. Yeah. That's why the third person, I don't think, really helps us much. If you have a third person, you really have a tultul bialma on one side, or a hanacha bialma on the other side. What makes it an akira and an hanacha is that, kind of just to go back to what you said before, is that there are only two people, they're interacting with each other, between the two of them they're getting this done, and therefore the akira even on one side of the boundary, or the hanacha only on the other side of the boundary, there's still mitzuraf to the breaking of the plane. But if you had a third person who was breaking the plane, I would say that just breaks up even the drabanans, because I'm not sure about it, but I'm just saying, you know, it's not an akira sufficiently connected to that, and it's not a hanacha sufficiently connected.
All I'm suggesting is that this breaking of the plane, it somehow has to, there are only two actors.
Yeah.
And so to talk about an independent breaking of the plane as
well, the Riva does.
Right, what I'm saying. Doesn't Gemara would suggest that
but that's what I'm trying to explain is, because each time it's mitzuraf to it, because there's only the two of them, I think that's the answer to it. But I hear what you're saying. Okay. Give you another example where it comes up, and where there's an important distinction, and then another one also which highlights it. If we get a chance, probably we'll have to wait for next week for the second one. But let me give the first one. There's a Mishnah on Kuf Hayomid Aleph. The last Mishnah in Perek Habonah. Okay? Akose beis osos b'shtei halamos, achas shachros, achas beinu arbaim, Rabbi Gamliel Machai v'chachamim potri. Okay? What is that? So we established before that in order to be chayav for kosev, right, you have to write two letters. Right? But let's say what you did was, what happened was as follows. We already know the halakha that, you know, that in order to be chayiv a korban chatas, it has to be a state of halama, shkaga, right? And you have to do the shir shalem in that context. Let's say you had the following situation. You wrote an oath. You remembered. All of a sudden the shir came back to you, right? Or the fact that it's Shabbos came back to you. Forgot it again. Not quite sure how that happens. Okay? Then you wrote a second oath. So both oaths that you wrote were in a state of helet. Right? But there was a yediya in between. Now, if we were talking about chiluk chatos, right? So let's say you wrote two letters behalam echad. You remembered. And then you wrote two other letters, Helem Shani. So clearly, you're going to be chayiv to chatos, because that's going to, the halama, the idea is mechale. That's what we mean, idea is mechalkos. The problem here is that the idea, which we're trying to weigh whether or not it was mechalekes, was a idea after a chiyuv chatzishir, not shir shalev. You wrote one os, you remembered, you forgot, and you wrote the second os. So that's what the Mishnah discusses. Akosa beithos is b'shtei halamos, achas shachas or achas arvis, and he remembered in between. That's why it's shtei halamos, right? Rabbi Gamliel mechayev. Rabbi Gamliel says ein yedia lachatzishir, right? The fact that he, when he knew what he knew, was only chatzishir, so that's inconsequential. It doesn't break up the halamos for the korban. And Chachamim disagree. They're potrin, and the Gemara explains this. But my commitment, what's the argument? Rabbi Gamliel says ein yedia lachatzishir, meaning it doesn't count as a yedia because all he knew was chatzishir that he had done. Rabbanan Savri, yesh yedia lachatzishir. We paskin, as you can see by the little oath of the Rambam, we paskin at yesh yedia lachatzishir. And it was Perikles of Ashkagos. Okay. Now, what about in Akira Vahanach? Not two osios. Guy was okay, right? In a state of halama. Then he remembered, and then, you know, he in the middle, then he forgot and did the hanacha. So the akira and the hanacha were in a state of halama, right? But there was a yedia, right, in the middle. There was yedia akira, but there was halamas hanacha. So does that depend on the machlokas or Gamliel the Chachamim about yesh yedia lechatzishir or not? That's the question. So the Meiri al-Atar here on Gimel and Beis in our Gemara relates this question. Says there's lots of problems in reading the Gemara. If you hold that you know yesh yedia lechatzishir, you know in this case, things have to do with things that we haven't read yet. So the Meiri says, in my opinion, even though we normally pass in yesh yedia lechatzishir, but when it comes to akira v'hanacha, that's not chatzishir, because the ikar malacha is the hanacha, and therefore the yedia came prior to the real mechayev. It came at a time when a necessary tnai for the malacha was being accomplished, right? But it didn't come in between or after the Ikar Mechayiv was being accomplished. In other words, Akira v'Hanacha are not equal partners in the Chiyuv of Hotzah. Hanacha is the Ikar, and therefore the din of Yesh Yedia L'Chatzishir will not apply, because by the time he did the Hanacha, he had a Lama. So that's what counts. That doesn't break it up. One of the Achronim, quote this in the name of the Achronim, I think Afikayam says the same Svara, but for the opposite reason. He says, again, same idea. Akira v'Hanacha are not equal partners, right, even though you need both of them for the Chiyu. But he says, the Ikar Mechayev is Akira. And therefore, when you did the Akira, you were in a state of Halama. You didn't do the Hanacha yet, and there was a Yediyah before the Hanacha. The Hanacha is an extraneous condition. You need it, but it's not the Ikar HaMechayiv. And then there's a third group of Rishonim. We don't have the trouble with the Gemara that the Meiri initially had. And they think that the regular din of Yediyah L'Chatzishir applies to Akir of Hanacha. So that's one other example. There have been a few other examples. There's one more that I want to mention.
Where is it? Where is it?
What's that?
Where is it?
The Meiri?
Yeah.
Gimel Amud Beis.
Gimel
Amud Beis. Yeah, in the Gemara here. I'll try to next week, when we have a new sheet anyway, I'll try to put the Meiri on. And next week I want to also discuss a Gemara in Ksuvis, Laman Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Reb Chaim's view of this as well. I'll say what the Gemara is about, and then we'll save it for next week. The Gemara discusses what's called the law of Akira Tzorech Hanacha, which means as follows. The Gemara discusses the problem of Kablei Bedrava Bidei. Let's say a person in the middle of his Hotzah, and there can be a middle because Hotzah is an elongated procedure, starting with Akira and ending with Hanacha, right? So let's say he was Korea Shirayim Bahalichasa. Let's say he was Zorek. He threw some arrow. It, you know, cut somebody's, damaged somebody's property, right? There was an Akira when he started. It ended up being Munach where he wanted it to be Munach. But in between, he damaged somebody's property. Or he was walking, you know, same idea with an object. It was a flame or something, and it burnt something down, and then he put it down. So the Gemara basically says that there's no chiyuv mamon for mazik in that case, even though he did damage somebody's property. The reason is because that chiyuv mamon is eclipsed by a higher obligation. That's the rule of kamblei b'deraba mineh. If you do a capital crime, and during the capital crime you also end up causing a monetary loss, kamblei b'deraba mineh, we go by the bigger fish, not the smaller fish, and you're going to be potter for the mamon. Oh. So the Gemara says that the reason that that is true is because of the rule of Akira Tzorech Hanacha. Meaning, with respect to Kamblei Bedrava Minei at least, we perceive the whole act of Hotzah, beginning with Akira, ending with Hanacha, as a single unit, as an integrated performance. Therefore, anything that happens in the middle is happening in the middle of the capital crime. Okay? But we want to show that the different Lashonos of the Rishonim on that, and then discuss next week both about Yedi L'Chasishir and Akira Tzorech Hanacha very briefly. What is there any difference between Maver Dalad Amos Brishus Harabim and Hotzam Brishus Hoshos? Okay, and then we're going to go on to the next Gemara about Yod Olonayech and Gufo Garir and all those interesting topics.